training, medical school and residency, not having any appreciation for how food affects the brain and really never thought about it, really never crossed my mind. And so I practiced conventionally, prescribing medications and doing psychotherapy intensively for 10 years in different types of settings. Loved my work, but it was pretty frustrating to notice how most of the people in my practice were just not getting that much better.
Welcome to Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. This is a podcast designed to help you lead your life enthusiastically today, tomorrow, and every other day. I am your host, Ron Kaiser, positive health psychologist and coach, also keynote and TEDx speaker, and author of Rejuvenating, the Art and Science of Growing Older with Enthusiasm. As listeners to the podcast know, my goal each week is to bring you a different person who leads his or her own life with enthusiasm and have different ways of presenting information and advice as to how we can become better versions of ourselves. And certainly, maintaining positive mental health is one of the best ways that we can be better versions of ourselves. Now, when we think in terms of mental health, a lot of us don't necessarily think of it relative to diet. Most of us, when we hear about diet, it's for weight loss or because of digestive problems or things of that nature. But our guest today has a different spin on it. I think you're going to find it interesting, perhaps a bit controversial, but it's going to make you think. And so it's with great pleasure that I present Dr. Georgia Ede. She is a Harvard-trained psychiatrist specializing in nutrition science and brain metabolism. Her nearly 25 years of clinical experience include 12 years as a college psychiatrist and nutrition consultant at Smith College and Harvard University Health Services. And at Harvard, she was the first to offer students nutrition-based approaches as an alternative to psychiatric medications. And see where I am obviously interested in hearing about this. Dr. Ede's book has just been published, and we'll talk some about it. It's called Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, a powerful plan to improve mood, overcome anxiety, and protect memory for a lifetime of optimal health. Can't argue with wanting to improve all those things, so we're looking forward to learning from Dr. Ede. Georgia, welcome to Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Dr. Kaiser. It's a pleasure to meet you and to be able to speak with your listeners as well.
Well, great. I think before we get into the book or some of your ideas, I'm kind of interested. When people think of psychiatrists, especially nowadays, where more of them are doing medication checks and prescribing and things of that nature, we don't necessarily think in terms of psychiatrists and nutrition. So I'm kind of wondering, number one, are you kind of rare in that field? And whether you are or not, can you tell us a little bit about your personal journey to not be a kind of a classical psychiatrist in this regard?
Yeah, sure. So you're right. In medical school, we didn't talk about nutrition and the brain once. In 4 years of psychiatry residency, we didn't talk about nutrition and the brain once. So I really, came out of training, medical school and residency, not having any appreciation for how food affects the brain and really never thought about it, really never crossed my mind. And so I practiced conventionally, prescribing medications and doing psychotherapy intensively for 10 years in different types of settings. Loved my work, but it was pretty frustrating to notice how most of the people in my practice were just not getting that much better. And no matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked or what I how much I learned, how much more I learned about it, no matter how many mentors I consulted with, and I wasn't alone. When I looked around, at my colleagues, some of whom had been in practice for decades, all of our practices were filling up with people who just weren't getting that much better. And when people would ask me, my patients would ask me, especially if their lives were going pretty well. In some cases, people's lives were looked really great on the outside. And they would say to me, well, everything's going so well, I'm in a happy relationship, my family's doing well, and I have enough money, I love my job. Why am I depressed? Why do I want to die? I don't understand. And I didn't have a good answer for them. And we thought, I was trained, as all psychiatrists are, to think of mental health problems as chemical imbalances that need to be addressed with medication, that they're somehow running your family, or that you're somehow vulnerable to these, or the family history. But we don't have any real way to test your brain's chemicals in the office. We don't have any way to really tell you what's going on. And so what we end up doing is kind of trial and error, prescribing medicines one after the other, trying to hope that one of them is going to help. We really are practicing in the dark. And so that's how I practiced for a long time. But then my own health started to change. And I was developing all these problems that a lot of my middle-aged patients, this was in my early 40s, almost 20 years ago now. I started developing a lot of symptoms that a lot of my middle-aged and older patients were telling me about. Chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and irritable bowel syndrome and migraine headaches and those kinds of things, all very vague but ultimately somewhat partially disabling. I was having a hard time actually working full time because I wasn't feeling well. So I had all these tests done. I had access to very smart Harvard specialists, very caring, but none of them found anything wrong. So I was kind of left to my own devices to figure it out. And I started with my diet because one of the issues was, you were saying, we think about food and the digestive health. One of my issues was stomach pain after I ate. And I thought, well, maybe something's bothering my stomach. I could, experiment with my diet and see how that goes. And really through trial and error process, about 6 months, I kept a food and symptom journal, and I gradually changed my diet. But what I had been eating up to then was, I think, what a lot of, women who have always struggled with weight problems, which was also me. I've always struggled with my weight since I was a child. I was eating a low fat, high fiber diet with, lots of fruits and vegetables in it, and, diet sodas and big salads and, white meat chicken with the skin taken off and no added fat, all that sort of thing. So I ate that way. And so I started experimenting with my diet, and what I discovered purely by trial and error, and this was a long time ago now, 2007 or 2008 or 9, that I eventually ended up with a diet that was almost completely upside down from what we are advised to eat. And it solved all, not just my stomach issues, but all of the problems that I was having. And more. I mean, I actually never felt that well in my entire life. And I just felt really, truly well. And beyond the physical issues, all the different physical issues that went away, even though I wasn't trying to improve my mental health improved really noticeably. So my concentration was better, my mood, my energy, my sleep, my productivity. It was remarkable. And I didn't think of myself as having any significant mental health problems, but it was so noticeable that that got my attention. I thought, well, I'm a psychiatrist. This is interesting. This diet seems to be good for the brain, but this diet is, based on the little bit I knew about nutrition at the time, I also was worried was dangerous. I actually thought the diet was going to ultimately kill me, even though it was helping me feel so well, because it was a diet that was mostly meat and fat and cholesterol. It was lower in fiber, much lower in fiber. It didn't have any dairy products in it. It had no whole grains. I mean, it was completely different from what we are asked to eat. And so I thought, well, I'd love to help my patients with diet, but I can't recommend this diet to them. This I could lose my license. So I decided to study nutrition for the first time. And I studied nutrition intensively, independently for years, read articles, took a graduate course in nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. I soaked up all the information I could. And after a few years of this, it became really clear to me that almost everything we are taught about nutrition is incorrect. And so, long story short, I gradually incorporated these principles into my work and started writing about it on a website, started speaking about it at conferences, and I started researching this topic and have even helped publish a research paper on ketogenic diets for mental health, and now have written a book about the topic because I think there's so much. I wish people knew how much more control they have over their mental health, their current mental health, and their future mental health than they realize. Because if you feed the brain properly, it actually will work so much better. And you can expect a lot more of yourself.
So interesting. And I've read your book, but and I know what I'm asking now for a very brief synopsis. It takes pages and pages and various chapters, but in general, can you give us some general principles of somebody who's, even if we're not feeling all that bad, if we are concerned about, mental health and what we can do from a nutrition standpoint, are there some general principles to keep in mind? I know you've told us some things that we probably shouldn't be doing, but can you give us some guidance about general principles?
Sure. So the whole fourth section of the book is how to, right? So there's a lot of science and a lot of explanation, a lot of like interesting facts about food that people might find surprising throughout the book. But the final 25% of the book really is a different dietary strategies, changes that people can use and choose from to improve their nutritional and metabolic health. And improve their mental health. And so these include even simple things like I think that most people already understand is important to do, removing as much of the ultra processed food as you possibly can from your diet. All of the prepackaged and prepared foods and anything that isn't a whole food. So a whole food being a peach, a fish, an egg, these are foods you can find, a nut, foods you can find in nature that have not been processed. And just minimally processed, just cooking and chopping is fine. Beyond that, you don't want to do too much more to it. So those foods, that's the whole foods principles first. If everybody who is listening to your program right now, if that's all they did, they would already be 75% healthier because that's a big change to make. Most of us eat ultra processed foods every day. And the ultra processed foods include the most important ingredients to avoid are the refined carbohydrates, sugar, flour, cereals, and fruit juices that cause unnaturally steep spikes in blood sugar and insulin levels, and vegetable oils, refined vegetable oils, things like soybean oil and canola oil and sunflower oil. These are very damaging as well. So these are the signature ingredients of the modern unhealthy diet that need to be avoided at all costs. If you do only that, you will have done yourself a tremendous favor. And if you want to go deeper, then you look at your general, your then you look at the actual whole foods in your diet. So the next step is which whole foods are working for you and which whole foods are working against you. Because just because it's a whole food doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. And this is especially true of the grains and the beans. So the grains and legumes, these are things like peas, beans, lentils, and grains, wheat, rice, corn, oats. These foods are, we know, we're told all the time that they're healthy for us, but they're actually extremely low in nutrients and they are very high in anti-nutrients. So even some of the nutrients they do contain are very difficult for us to access. And then beyond that, because these are all seeds of different types of plants, you know, grains are the seeds of grasses and legumes are the seeds of, are the seeds of, you know, of beans and lentils and so forth. They each contain a plant embryo that needs to be protected. And so they also contain defensive chemicals to protect the embryo. And they can be harmful to your health, especially if you have gut damage or immune system damage. These can be problematic. So I recommend if you want really even better health than just getting rid of the ultra processed foods, is to also remove the grains and the beans. And that is sort of brings you into a more of a paleo style pattern as opposed to, you know, a Mediterranean pattern, which is based very heavily on grains and legumes. And then the third step, step three. So there's three steps. Remove the ultra processed foods, take the grains and beans away if you can. And the third is to look at your metabolic health. What is your blood sugar level? What is your insulin level? Do you have insulin resistance? Do you need to lower the amount of carbohydrate in your diet or not? And some people will need to, and some people will not need to. And I explain exactly in the book how to figure that out. But that, if you understand even just a couple of simple things about your glucose and insulin levels, you can make changes that will really dramatically reduce your risk for almost every chronic physical and mental disease we are fearing and dealing with, everything from cardiovascular disease to Alzheimer's disease to obesity to type 2 diabetes. And so these are fundamental principles are not just about mental health, they are about total health. And so those are the three steps that I would recommend.
Okay, so that very important information. And of course, you do expand upon it a lot in the book. I'm sure a lot of people, including myself, would be shocked to hear that you don't like the Mediterranean diet, which we had been, which frankly, in my case, is something pretty close to what I practice. So it's the fact that it seems to be the opposite makes me wonder, are there some people, I mean, there's a million diets out there.
Yeah, it's true.
And I guess my question is, how universal are your recommendations? Is there, variation? It's actually a two-part question. The other part is, since you said it's good for physical health as well as mental health, is it something that where you can get a kind of double dip and get better weight control or things of that nature too, or is that a separate consideration?
No, thank you for these are such important issues. I'm so glad you brought them up. So a few questions wrapped up in that question. So the first question is about the Mediterranean diet. And I explain in the book that the Mediterranean diet is it's very clear. It's much healthier for you, for your brain as well as for your body than this so-called standard American diet. It's been shown in study after study after study, including three high quality studies of depression. So if you have clinical depression and you switch from a standard junky American diet to a Mediterranean diet, you can see in some cases significant improvement in depression symptoms. So what I say in the book is if you're starting from the standard American diet, yes, the Mediterranean diet is a huge step in the right direction. But then I go on to say that just because the Mediterranean diet is better, absolutely better than, you know, what most people are eating, And of course, better for the brain as well. Does not necessarily mean it's the best diet for the brain. So if you're starting from a Mediterranean diet, if you're already eating a Mediterranean diet and you're not feeling your best, if you feel like there's something more you're hoping for in terms of your health, then I think you can go a lot further. And I explain why in the book, why it is that the Mediterranean diet is not good enough, I think, and why I would recommend people strive for more. And the reason, one of the main reasons why, in addition to the fact that it's based on these foods which don't make a lot of sense to base a diet on, these grains and legumes, which are don't do much for you, and they're just more risk than benefit. They're also, the Mediterranean diet is very high in carbohydrate, and that might be okay for some people. But the problem is that the majority of Americans now, anywhere between 52 and 88% of us, depending on which study you look at, have something called insulin resistance, which is also sometimes called prediabetes, which means that we are so metabolically damaged now that we can't tolerate large amounts of carbohydrate safely anymore. So unfortunately, the Mediterranean diet leaves out all of those people, which is now the majority of us who can, we cannot keep our blood sugar and insulin levels under control if we're eating too much carbohydrate. So what I ask people to do is whatever diet they're eating right now, whether it's Mediterranean or kind of a standard diet or a low fat diet or a vegan diet, whatever diet they're starting from right now, measure your blood sugar levels, measure your insulin levels, measure your triglycerides. Look at that cholesterol panel that you got from your doctor. Are your triglycerides too high? Is your HDL too low? Is your fasting insulin above 10? Is your waist circumference more than half your height? Is your HDL below 40? If you look at all of these measures of insulin resistance, if you have any of these, then there's too much carbohydrate in your diet for your personal metabolism. So when you said, is there room for personalization and variation? Absolutely. So what I do in the book is I walk people through what they need to know so that they can find the diet that works best for them. So definitely not all people need to go low carb or even ketogenic. But unfortunately, quite a few of us now do need to go to that level of carbohydrate restriction in order to regain our metabolic health and reawaken the brain's energy supply. Because I'll say one more thing, which is, I know this is a long answer, but the problem with insulin resistance and prediabetes is it's not just about blood sugar, it's about brain sugar. So if you have something that's this problem called prediabetes or insulin resistance, which most of us now do, what that's doing is that's making it harder for insulin to cross into the brain. And the more insulin resistant you are, the harder it is for insulin to cross in. And that's a huge problem because your brain could be swimming in a sea of glucose, sugar, blood sugar for energy, but it can't make good use of it because you need insulin. The brain needs insulin to use glucose and turn it into energy to full capacity. So if you have insulin resistance, your brain isn't getting enough energy from the carbohydrates that you're eating. It's lost some of its ability to turn carbohydrates into energy. And in those cases, you must switch your diet to a fat-based diet in order to bridge that energy gap. So this is one of the main themes in the book is for some of us, carbohydrates from whole foods will be perfectly fine. For others of us, they will not. And knowing where you are on that spectrum, I think is probably the single most important thing you can know about your health is to understand if you have insulin resistance. It's almost like a crystal ball when it comes to your health.
Well, that triggers another more important question, but I don't want to forget the one that I asked. Does it help with weight loss or
Oh,
things of that nature?
thank you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay, just don't make it too long because I got one that's probably going to need a longer answer that.
That's okay. So yes. So Fat storage and fat burning are determined by insulin. So if your insulin level is high, your fat burning hormones turn off. They literally turn off. Your body cannot even see that you've got energy stored as fat. It can't use it. If your insulin levels come down lower, then your insulin levels have to be below a certain point in order to turn those fat burning enzymes on. So if your insulin levels are running too high all day long, you literally cannot burn fat. When insulin is high, you're turning any excess calories you eat into fat, even if there's no fat in your diet at all. If your insulin levels are low, you turn your fat burning on. So if you're trying to lose weight, all of the different weight loss methods, whether it's a low calorie diet, whether it's fasting, whether it's ketogenic diets, whether it's exercise, all of the different ways to lose weight, all of them work the same way by lowering your insulin levels. So that's the key. And if you're going to do it with a low fat diet, it needs to be low in calories as well. So one of the beauties of a ketogenic diet is you can lose weight with less calorie restriction required. But that's a nuance. But yes, insulin, it's all about fat burning and fat storage is all about your insulin levels.
Okay. Now, the question that I think is almost a bottom line question. I mean, as a psychologist, I know that anxiety, depression, a lot of the mental disorders are complex. And I'm wondering if somebody is experiencing anxiety, depression, things of that nature. Where's the starting point? I know with certain medical issues, regardless of what the ultimate treatment would be, you might start with imaging to see is there something, is there a fracture, is there a tumor, is there something going on? With these mental health issues, is there an appropriate starting point? I mean, do we start with looking at diet? Do we start with seeing a therapist? Do we start with medication? I mean, I'm sure there are varying points of view, but in terms of, if I'm experiencing some really impairing anxiety or depression, if, I want to get moving, so the question is, what's the most efficient way to start dealing with it? Do I see a nutritionist? Do I see one of the few people like you? Is it, what do we do?
Yeah, so it really depends on the severity of the situation and what you've already tried and what you are open to trying, right? So it's all personalized. So let's say, for example, you have really severe anxiety and it's starting to interfere with your ability to function in some way. But maybe you've never seen anybody about it before. You're absolutely right. You should start by seeing a professional. First, even your primary care doctor to make sure there isn't something physically wrong that's causing the anxiety. Maybe get some, basic blood work and you have a physical exam and that sort of thing, because there are definitely health conditions, medical conditions that can cause anxiety. For example, thyroid conditions is a good example, right? So now assuming that there's nothing medically wrong, if there's nothing medically wrong, then you have a couple of choices. If the anxiety is very severe and it feels like an emergency, it's very serious, I do think you should see a mental health professional right away so that they can help you figure out whether you need what level of care you need. Do you need to be in the hospital briefly? Do you need sort of an intensive outpatient program, or can you work with somebody once a week or so as an outpatient? Those types of things. And so different, so that's the next level of care is, figuring out how serious the situation is by seeing a mental health professional, right? And then you've got some choices. So do you want to use medication? Do you want to use diet, lifestyle changes? This also depends on how much of an emergency it is, because dietary changes take more time than medication and or hospitalization, right? So if you're in a crisis, it's not the time to be trying a brand new diet. If you're in a crisis, safety first. And so there are, for example, many fast-acting anxiety medications that could be used short term to calm that anxiety and buy you some time and stabilize the situation. Then you can kind of sit back and think, okay, what do I want to do next? Hopefully the medication won't be a long-term solution. Hopefully it's a short-term solution. And then I really would, the way I practice now is that unless there's a person's in crisis, I am a food-first psychiatrist because I really want to get that foundation for good nutritional and metabolic health solidified. Because I have found, and many of my colleagues have as well, and the research is showing this as well, if you start there, you often don't need to go any further. You may not need to use medication. You may be able to come off medication. You may be able to reduce the dosages or numbers of medications you're taking. So these interventions are actually very powerful. And so I do recommend that people learn more about them. And there, you asked, like, how many of us are doing this? Thankfully, the number is growing. So I train clinicians around the world in how to do this, but also I have a number of colleagues at prestigious universities, Stanford, Harvard, Oxford, lots of people out there who are starting to learn about this, practice this way, and teach these methods. So it's a really rapidly growing field, but it's still very, very new. So if you're looking for somebody to work with, I have a free clinician directory on my website where you can, it's international. So you can look and see if there's what's called a metabolic practitioner in your area to work with. And the website is called diagnosisdiet.com. And there's a tab on the top that says directory. And you click on that and it's completely free to search. Because I'm definitely not the only one doing this anymore.
That's wonderful to know. What was it, Hippocrates, or who said that food should be your medicine, or let food be your medicine? So I think we're getting to what the real medicine is if we can allow food to be the medicine whenever we have an option for it. I know we've got, wonderful medications for all kinds of conditions, but obviously if we can get benefits from food, that's got to be better. And if you can wind up feeling better emotionally and also physically from it, that's great. So with all that, let's find out about where people can get your book. Run the title by us again. Let us know where we can get it, and then where else we can find you. You mentioned the website, and I mean, that's great information to know that there is a directory out there. So
Yeah, so the website is called diagnosisdiet.com, and there's a directory there. There's information about the training program if you have clinicians who are listening. But there's also, on the website, there's a lot of free information. I've been writing about these topics since for 12 years. And so there's a lot of free information, and there's a lot of free video presentations that people can watch if they're curious to learn more. But the book is really pulls everything together. In a way that's designed to be complete and the science as well as the how-to. And the book is called Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. And it just came out in January. And it really, I did write it specifically about mental health and nutrition because, there are lots of books out there about mental health and nutrition, but most of them are about superfoods and supplements and Mediterranean diets. And it's not that, again, it's not that those strategies don't have some benefit to them. If they're working for you, that's great. But in my experience, they're not working well enough for most people. And so I wrote the book to help people understand how they can, if they want real change to their mental health today and tomorrow, including dramatic reduction in risk for Alzheimer's disease, then you have to make real change to your diet. You can't just sprinkle superfoods on top. You can't just kind of nibble at it around the edges, which, in my opinion, is what the Mediterranean diet really does, is it takes some of the unhealthy things out of the diet, but it doesn't take all of the unhealthy things out of the diet. So you can do better. And I think that's what I want people to hear. So the book explains exactly how that works. If people aren't, I care less about honestly, whether about people buy the book. I care about them having the information they need to improve their mental health. So whether they have an existing mental health problem, whether it's minor or major, no matter how old you are, no matter how many medications you're taking, no matter what your diagnosis, what you've been told your diagnosis is, there's so much you can do if you have the right information.
Despite you're not selling it, you're not doing a great sales job on it. Can you tell us where we can get it?
Yes. So if you can buy it wherever books are sold, so wherever you like to buy books, and lots of different websites sell books, including Amazon. The website that I like, because it supports local bookstores, independent bookstores, is bookshop.org. I like that website a lot. But you can buy it in bookstores as well or online. And if you go to the website diagnosisdiet.com, every page has a little note about the book, so you can read more about the book on the website. That's if you want to learn more about it.
Okay, great. And as usual, we will have all this contact information and the information about the book in the show notes. So if you're driving, you'll re-listen to it, and when you're in one place, and or go to the show notes. This has been great. Thank you very much, Georgia. It was a real pleasure speaking with you, learning some things. I came in kind of skeptical since I felt I did pretty well on the Mediterranean diet. But number one, it's nice that you weren't combative about it, but educative about it. And I think that it's just so tremendous to know that this is an option for people with mental health issues that, seems to be both prevention and treatment. Because if you don't have to wait until you have a mental health issue that's impairing to be able to implement these changes, which is what you have to do with medication. So, again, it's been very enlightening. It's been great talking with you. I know our listeners got a whole lot out of it, and I really appreciate your spending the time with us.
I really appreciate it as well. And I really loved having the conversation about the Mediterranean diet, because I think it is a really excellent place to start. And it's just people, if they're not getting enough out of that, I want them to know that, what else they can do if they want to go further. So, and thank you for the work you do. I was just telling you before we came on the show that I listened to your podcast about habit change and found it really, really wonderful. And habit change, I mean, that's the hard part about changing diet, right? It's not always easy. And you need, when I'm working with patients, I mean, we actually, what works best when you're changing diets is to work in a team of people, so you have a really good psychologist or therapist who can help you with cognitive behavioral changes that need to happen in order to make these dietary changes a new way of life. And that's no small task. So I really appreciate the psychologist in you, and all the ways that you're helping people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, it's great having you as a guest. And that brings to a close another episode, a really informative one of the Rejuvenation with Dr. Ron Kaiser show. I hope that you'll not only re-listen to the episode, but tell your friends about it, download it, rate it, review it, and practice some of the things that you've been taught today, because it's the information is just so helpful, and there are very few other places where you're going to get this, but you do have a website and a book now where you can really learn about this information, as well as other practitioners who may be in your area. And so everybody remembered the role of diet with respect to mental health. And in the meantime, everybody stay positive, stay safe, and be back next week. Take care. This is Dr. Ron Kaiser signing off.